You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
This rhetoric about make America great again. Tell me when America was great and we'll go back there. I'm going with you.
Critical.
Hang on. Let me change some words here. All right. Ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held.
Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
I don't know if you've ever seen a lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sarah Talk. We are live on Spreaker. It is episode 51.
Woohoo!
We are over the halfway mark to 100, so that's pretty cool. For those of you who've been listening for a very long time, thank you so much for tuning in and sticking with us over the long haul here. We have made so much progress since the beginning when I was carrying all of the sound equipment and the computer and microphone stands all of that shit over to Mandy's apartment, and
that was not a fun haul.
It got us there, and it was you know, it got the show started and it was fun to do, but to have to lug all that stuff around was not fun. So now we have this nice studio set up here. We are waiting for Michael Kaplan and Jake Vahaba to join us in the studio today. So that means a couple of things. That means it's probably going to be dirty and it's probably going to be funny, but also that means we have to use the shitty microphone that picks up every sound in the room. So again, we'll fundraise the fourth microphone. We need, what is it, like $600 for the microphone, the stand, all of the stuff?
Yeah, something like that. Crazy.
So
we're almost there. Hey, we got 3 out of 4.
We got 3 out of 4, yeah. We started with old crap that was left over from my days doing like stage sound and lighting and DJ work. And we've come a long way. So a big thank you to our patrons for that at patreon.com/SarahTalk, particularly Andrea and Russell for being longtime patrons for us. We really appreciate that support. Let's start with some of the stories that we have here today. And when Michael and Jake show up, we'll jump up and go get them. The first story I have comes from CNN. A Kentucky coal museum is switching to solar power. And
that just sounds
in
odd.
This week's episode of Isn't It Ironic? Don't you think? It's like a coal museum switching to solar power.
You're out of control.
I was going to play the song, but that would be copyright infringement. So I just sang
your version.
Yeah, my version. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't expect a museum dedicated to the coal industry to run on anything other than coal, but a mining museum in Kentucky is soon to be solar powered. The Kentucky Coal Mining Museum in Benham, owned by Southeast Kentucky Community and Technical College, is switching to solar power to save money. The museum, which memorializes Kentucky's history in coal mining, is modernizing with a new form of cheaper energy, communications director Brandon Robinson told CNN affiliate WYMT that the project, quote, will help save at least $8,000 to $10,000 off the energy costs on this building alone.
Okay.
Why are we not paving the world in solar?
Yeah. Yeah.
If this one building, at least Florida.
Right?
At least Florida.
Well, you could, there's plenty of opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, with all the buildings that we have, if you put solar panels on top of all of them.
Yep.
We could very easily provide power for the whole continent.
I did not print this out. Michael's here.
All right, I'll go grab him.
Okay. I did not print this out, but Elon Musk just basically released their solar panel ceiling or damn it, what are these called? Roofing tiles, the shingles. The solar shingles, which are, they look just like regular shingles, but they're made out of like a glass covering over the actual panel and they all kind of interconnect. And while I'd love to be an early adopter of new technologies, I'm kind of concerned that they're not strong enough or that they would break easy. If you know what I mean? Like if they're made out of, if there's a glass covering, if glass is so, I don't know. I don't, you tell me, am I crazy here? Thanks. Wrong. Shut up. Oh, Jake's here. I don't know. Somebody's here. I got a message that someone was here. Which microphone do we want Jake on? The blue microphone? Because, well, he knows how to handle it better?
If you put Michael on this one, you're going to have to separate him from his little piece of candy that he always brings.
That's true.
But I
pick,
mean,
a seat, wherever you'd like. We can move people around when we need to. Jake Vahaba, welcome. Welcome to the studio.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah.
You're all tangled.
Go ahead and untangle yourself there. There you go. So we're talking about a Kentucky coal museum that's switching to solar power.
Okay.
I know, right?
I mean, I'm not mad by it.
Right.
No, I'm not awesome. Upset about that at all.
It's fantastic.
You can pull that forward too if you want.
This is the third mic. I like it.
Yeah. Nice, right?
This is really starting to
get fancy.
Yeah.
And we one more. All we need is one
just
more.
One more.
One more.
And then I don't know what you'll use that for. Music?
Music.
Yeah, which I don't really have time for anymore. So this led into what you missed while you were out getting Jake was that Elon Musk announced basically the launch of their solar.
Yeah, I kind of heard it. I left the door open so I could hear you ranting in here about
Solar panels. I want that. As much as I want solar panels, like I'm completely with the idea that they that's an older dying technology. The newer things are coming. Mm-hmm. They look bad. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't aesthetically, it's not a thing. And that's what Elon Musk was trying to do.
Sure.
When they wanted to create these shingles, the solar shingles, and they look great.
Mm-hmm.
It looks natural. Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with solar power at all.
No,
it's free, and we live in Florida here. Yes. So
yeah,
why wouldn't you do that? But
mm-hmm.
yeah, when he revealed those shingles, they're smart looking.
Yeah. Oh, they're nice. Yeah.
And I think
four or five different styles.
Yeah.
That kind of emulate existing shingle styles.
Right. Which is cool. I think it takes people like that, and I really love Elon Musk. I think it's. I don't know if I love him or if we're gonna all be under his rule someday. I can't tell which way it's gonna go, but I think it's real smart for him to recognize that, you know, the technology's here, but our scientists have, they made the piece of technology. It works great, but they don't really care how it looks because it's the science and fair enough. But he's coming in and saying like, hey, it can look good too. And it's just more incentive for people to put it in their house.
Think about other technologies, right? Look at the first cell phone.
Fair.
Okay. We've come a long way.
The first prosthetic.
Oh yeah.
Limb.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, sure. You know, right. All of that stuff is going to advance in the way it looks.
It always,
gonna become.
It always starts out a little clunkier, but more,
for practicality,
right.
Not necessarily Agreed. For aesthetic.
Right. And then the aesthetic comes over time. So that's cool. I want to cover my roof in solar. Fuck yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a no-brainer here if you have the money to do it. Mm-hmm. And the good news is that solar energy or solar panels are cheaper to install now than they've ever been.
Yes.
So that's good because 10 years ago, you're looking at another 10 Gs just to put it on your house.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So
I was looking at, I don't want to quote it because I didn't print it out, but there was a news story I want to say. I saw where there was a coal plant that was starting to convert to renewables and like I've been saying all along, right? If you really want to do this the right way, then you, the coal industry, have to say, hey, you know what? This is a dying business. I'm going to get into this other business. It's energy. It's all the same thing.
Right.
We were electrical engineers. We know what we're doing as far as electricity goes. So let's just switch gears into the different method. If the if solar and wind or whatever, hydropower is the future, see the writing on the wall and start training your employees now to make that conversion so that you diversify that portfolio. And then when coal dies and you've rebalanced the amount of money that you have in each business sector so that you're stable and you'll see through that collapse.
There was a really, really cool segment I was able to watch on CNN not long ago regarding the coal industry. It was a member of CNN, and then it was Bernie Sanders on stage, and he was on stage with a bunch of people from West Virginia, many of which are part of the coal industry. And it was interesting to hear them sort of speak about the industry itself, because they recognize that it's killing West Virginia, but at the same time, it's in their blood, and they almost don't know how to do anything else, and they're okay with that. They
right.
This is what we do. We're coal people. We're hardworking people.
Yeah,
and I think it's one thing to say, you know, we just need to train them into something else. But if that's what their father and their grandfather and their great grandfather have done, I think that's what's going to be the hard mold to break. But at the same time, I mean, listening to them speak, they get that the jobs aren't there.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we'll see what happens, but these are the people that I hope don't get displaced.
Sure. And the interesting thing, I think, to think about that is, where did that deeply ingrained mindset come from? Was it just a natural byproduct of every generation, you know, following in the footsteps, or was there, and I don't want to Alex Jones on you, but was there a kind of,
you're not nearly intentional, close enough to the mic to Alex Jones, mate.
It's not, was it intentionally done by the industry itself to keep people, you know, if I tell you enough times that this is all you can do, you're no better than this, you're going to be a coal miner and your grandkids are going to be coal miners and this is just all you can do here. And if that message is what gets through over and over and over again, it becomes the reality. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I hope not. That's ridiculously sad.
I mean, the other thing you could say is, somewhere in Virginia in a coal mine, there's a pizza shop, and under the pizza shop, They're raping children. Oh, they're raping children under the pizza shop. So that was my Alex Jones. That's the best I got.
I saw you move. the volume down, and I slow-moed, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah. I saw it too. I was like, oh. Here we go.
Speaking of Alex Jones, before we go on,
move into it, please.
Did you see that he? So now. Now they're trying to say he's an actor.
He is an actor.
He plays a role.
He is.
And that this crazy, like, batshit conspiracy theorist stuff, that's not actually Alex Jones. That's the character Alex Jones. But where does that line blur? Like, I mean,
I think the line is blurred because he's good at it.
Yeah.
So all these people that have these super conservative, and I'll say on the other side, these super liberal ideas, because I got friends who are on like the Occupy Democrats page, and some of the stuff I see on there is like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Occupy Democrats, the other 98%, unfollow all that
shit. It's hard.
Too far the other
way. And even though like the end result might align with some of my ideals, it's like, oh my God, these people.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah. I think the line gets blurred because he's good at it. I don't think the man is stupid at all.
No.
Like, I don't think Bill O'Reilly was stupid. Well, for different reasons now, but
right.
But he played that whole remember the good old days thing very, very well. The guy went to an Ivy League school. He's not dumb.
Yep.
And he knew what he was doing to sell that. I think Alex Jones sees this untapped market. Untapped in that there was no voice of these people.
Right.
And now he's got, 8 million views a month or something? Like, it's something ridiculous. Certainly a lot more than you would think looking from the outside in.
He's like a normalized Art Bell. Because Art Bell was, you know, is the crazy Area 51 alien conspiracy guy that like broadcasts out of a van.
I think the thing that Alex Jones, because my brother's he links on, which is listen, it's fine, it's fine, but
it's certainly entertaining.
I think what they'll point to is he said a lot of stuff over his 20-year career, and I had no idea he was around for 20 years on the air, but he was in different mediums. And they'll point to things and say, oh, well, he said this, and look, it ended up being right. Look at all these things he got right. But also, if you throw everything at the wall, something's going to stick.
Yeah.
So if you start saying this person's a corrupt politician and is a pedophile, and you start saying about every congressman, you're gonna hit the nail on the head when someone starts foot tapping in an airport bathroom. Like, that's gonna happen. But I don't know. I think it is an act, and I think he was during his divorce proceedings where he's looking to get custody of his kids.
Right.
What are you gonna do? You want to see your kids? You want to keep the charade up?
Right.
Like, what do you want to do? And so for his lawyer to come out and say, oh well, this is Alex Jones, the performer.
Right.
This is not Alex Jones, the person.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, well,
okay.
Let's see where that goes with his followers.
Right, because his loyal following, like that these people have bought into that this is all real, and all of the things he's claiming are true.
Mm-hmm.
The government is hiding it all from you. Big business is hiding everything from you. The evil corporations and all of that garbage. Morally, doesn't he have a responsibility to, again, this is like we talk about all the time, like the platform that you have and what you use it for, should there be some kind of accountability for that?
He's an entertainer. There's no moral responsibility
for the other guy? What was the guy that was, they canceled all of his, different colleges kept canceling his speaking. You know what I'm talking about?
Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yeah, that fuckhole. Yeah, that's it.
And then he kind of like low-key advocated pedophilia because he was touched as a kid.
Right.
And now no one wants anything to do with him.
Right.
So that's our line, is you still can't touch kids.
Right, yeah.
So good. Good.
But that's like the social self-cleansing of a bad speech, right? So you have the freedom of speech.
Sure.
You can say whatever crazy shit you want to say, but it's not consequence free. I guess that's what I'm trying to get to. You know, this guy should have some consequences for the shit that he says.
And that's sort of up to the people. I think it's up to the people to find where that line is.
Right.
And I think we've found that advocating pedophilia is not cool with us.
Right.
Good. You know, because over the last, you know, year, 2 years, I don't really know what, where the line is anymore. So, so that we found that the line is still that can't talk about touching kids. The good, and let's work our way backwards and see.
Well, in the Bill O'Reilly thing, proves that that we only care about the issue when we get caught, like when it goes public, right?
Yeah.
This was not an unknown.
Certainly not in the Fox circles. I mean, because they've been paying people.
Right.
I mean, not all of Fox, obviously, but the upper echelon of the executive.
So
they've been making these payments.
What's the threshold? Is the game, right? You have to think like, so where is the line of, you know, how far do we tolerate it before we go, okay, this guy needs to go. And it was way too far.
For Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Way too fucking far.
Yeah, because these, I want to say, throughout the 2000s, I think there was another set of accusations in the earlier 2000s.
Yeah.
And that should have been enough for Fox to fire them. So for everyone, I have a lot of people on my Facebook that are posting something to the effect of, well, Fox did the right thing and got rid of them. I'm like, well, not the first three times they've paid
Finally,
people. Like,
Fox
yeah,
did
they
the
did
right thing. Right.
When it was unavoidable, you know?
Right.
So what do you, you know, I don't know.
Absolutely.
So
we
have friends.
Microphone 4 coming on. Now you're going to have to straddle the mic. Remember, straddle the pole.
I'm used to straddling.
You can hear. I'll turn you off until you get the microphone where you need to be.
This is going to sound like a bombing until. There we go.
All right. Hang on. Are you good?
I'm good.
Michael Kaplan. Welcome to the.
I need a nickname.
Fleming. You need a nickname?
Yeah.
Like a DJ name?
Yeah. Michael Kaplan, director and.
Oh, a title.
Oh, you want a title?
No, I don't need a title.
I think you want the nickname.
It just sounds like.
I think it sounds like an executive producer.
We could call you Mikey the Playboy.
Oh, Jesus.
No, Jesus. That's taking it to
later.
So Jesus later in the show. What else are we?
We call you Jesus.
Mazel tov.
I'll take that one.
You mazel tov.
I'll take mazel tov.
Any thoughts on Bill O'Reilly? We're talking about Fox News and Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly. Isn't that a car thing? No,
that's no, not. You he might have be no working idea. There.
Do you watch Fox News? That may be his next job. I don't know.
Car salesman.
Wasn't O'Reilly yelling at the nice lady.
Yeah, that's an auto parts store, but no, wrong O'Reilly.
Bill
well, he
O'Reilly.
Well, he was fired, right?
Mm. He was.
O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is now officially making more than Bill O'Reilly.
That's not true. He was paid off millions of dollars.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pocket change.
And don't think for a minute that, you know, he won't turn this and, you know, wait for the new book deal to come out.
The TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Kim Kardashian together.
That's right.
Yep.
Here comes Dancing with the Stars, Bill.
Oh, God.
Except they won't let him alone with the dancing partner because they don't really know what's going to happen.
I can see it now.
I can, too. That's the sad part.
Yeah, let's capitalize on that.
At the end of the day, I mean, come on, who doesn't like having an intern around? Right? Oh, there's your title.
I have one. Oh, Michael the intern.
Your intern. I was going to say Michael the intern.
Oh,
okay.
Then we can have an intern to.
I need an adult.
Abuse
to be interned.
It's pretty cool. We'll have an intern and a ghostwriter and.
Yeah. Oh, hey, let's talk about that real quick.
Oh yeah.
Because I always forget. Cool. And it's new. So we have a couple of articles now on saratalk.com that have been ghostwritten by a friend of the show. The first one was about the airlines flight where the guy got dragged off.
Yeah.
American or United right. flight.
Oh, yeah.
And the second one was a kind of a retrospective 18 years after the Columbine shooting. And the idea that our writer is going from here... they're taking feedback from social media, like asking people, hey, you know, what do you think about this situation? And it's kind of the subject of the column is point the finger, right? Where do we point the finger? So it's looking at different things that are happening or that have happened and kind of asking, you know, where should the blame lie? And they don't actually answer the question necessarily, but it just kind of makes you think. And hopefully it starts some conversations. So what we want you to do is go to saratalk.com. There's a section for the point the finger articles. Read, comment, post on our social media. You can always call 224-40-SARAH, 224-407-2724, producer@saratalk.com. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you think about the articles. If you have some differing opinions than some of the things that were espoused in the article,
and if you like the article, share.
Yes, absolutely. Let's move on. Oh, let's not move on. Let's move on to let's get back to we were talking about solar, right? And I was going to tie this in, but I wanted to wait till you guys were all here.
Ooh.
So we went this weekend.
Oh yes.
To the March for Science.
How was that?
It was good.
It was really fun.
Yeah, it was good. First, I feel like we have to talk about my social anxiety in public places and especially downtown. And that's, you could suffix that with any city name, like downtown anything, except maybe like Bumblefuck, Arkansas, right? Little small town podunk place that I'm cool down. Old downtowns from the, you know, from 1900 that I can get with that. There's nobody there. But Orlando's a big fucking place.
It is.
And I generally have like this high level of social anxiety around a bunch of people. So there's no way in hell I would have gone alone. First of all, like let's just be clear about that. If not for, Becca and Russell having gone with me there, this wouldn't have happened. just because of that social anxiety.
Sorry.
It's all right. So it was really cool. The numbers have not started really coming in yet. They're kind of estimating in the hundreds of thousands overall. But come on, nobody knows. Like, it's all estimation. It's all estimation, right? And that's not just Orlando. I'm talking like the, because this was a global thing, like worldwide. Yep. People were
Bill
were
Nye was out
in
D.C. I think.
Yeah, he was in D.C.
marching it out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Our friends from the SciGasm podcast were broadcasting Facebook Live. Yeah. Being on the,
was that in Australia?
Yeah, yeah, in Sydney. So yeah, it was this huge deal. Cities all over the world came out to say, "Hey, this is science is important, and science has to become more political." That we haven't been to the extent that we have to be now, because now we're in this post-truth reality where, you know, people just don't trust anything. So we saw a lot of great signs. That's always, you know, like a big thing about protests and marches is people come up with some pretty creative signs.
Yeah, there were some really good ones.
We posted them on our Saratok Facebook page, so go check that out. It was a quiet group. I thought, like, when I think of like, let's go march and rally, like they tried to start the chants, but it just didn't really catch on. And
a lot of people were very subdued.
Yeah.
The kids were having fun with the chants.
Yes, they were. it was a peaceful protest for all intents and purposes. It just wasn't very loud. Like I expected it to be more chanty.
Is that what you would like to see? Something
more?
I didn't mean that.
No, it's just, they need alcohol. They would have gotten people to join in.
If they had done it later in the day and marched
was it
through
early
Church
in the morning?
Street, yeah, it was like 10 o'clock.
That's no excuse.
When you got kids involved, it kind of
Right.
The parents are all like, come on, say the chant with us.
Well, they had their kids. They had their dogs. There was a little dog walking right near us in a shark costume. It was the most hilarious thing.
Yeah. Vodka would have helped that.
But no, yeah, like
he's right.
He is.
It was funny. So we're all sitting in the amphitheater, right? And or all the that could fit. And that was crazy too, because there were like plenty of empty seats on the benches in the amphitheater. I don't understand why people didn't fill in the space.
No, but it was in
the
direct sunlight.
Oh,
a lot of people that were like, I took the kids and we sat off to the side under the trees, and there was a bunch of people in the park area under the trees. You could still hear what they were saying off the stage over there on that side. But I think the sun,
that
kind of
killed it. Yeah. You know, and so they tried to get everybody rallied up from the stage. You know, I'm going to say, what do we want? And you're going to say science. And I'm going to say, when do we want it? And you're going to say now or after peer review or whatever. And it just fizzled out. Like, people just weren't like chanty. They just didn't.
There were some cool signs. Maybe that just wasn't the group to scream and chant.
Right. But that, again, I guess the point is that thousands of people came out, at least in our city, and we won't have total numbers for a while, but a lot of people came out to this thing to say that science is important, that science education is important. And so I've said this on the show before, you know, like, I wish I had taken science more seriously when I was in school. I wish I had been given a better foundation. And I guess that I say that to mean, like, when the sciences started specializing, right? So general science in like grade school, that was fine. I was cool with that. It's when we got to, now you have to take biology and chemistry and physics. Had that been presented in a different way, I think that, like, I would have been much more interested and gotten into it more, and it would have stuck. I, however, once upon a time, seventh grade, at the top of a science test, and my mother probably still has it, I wrote, "I hate science," at the top of this, and I misspelled science.
Oh, God.
So you don't even know what it really was.
So
you were a Trump supporter back then.
I was bad
then.
At science.
That's
Well, look at where she grew up. Of course she would have been.
Yeah. I guess so.
Anyway, so, hey, let's have a... You guys aren't going to be able to see this because it's on my phone, but we have a special correspondent report from the March for Science.
Oh?
Yeah. What is it, this one? I think it's this one.
Hi, guys. I'm here, and We are at Orlando, and there's this gigantic lake right here. Look at that, there's even birds.
So we were looking in the water. What is there? Do you see anything in the water?
There's like trash and
So, oh, look here.
Put that a little sharp, man.
Water bottle.
And it's Earth Day.
And it's Earth Day. So, what do you think about all of this trash being in the water?
I think that it might hurt the birds.
Yeah, it's not very good, is it?
Yeah.
So what should we do to take care of the Earth?
Pick up trash and not throw it all over the place.
Yeah, what else could we do to take care of the planet?
Not use power as much.
Yeah, not use as much power. One more thing. Can you think of one more thing?
Plant trees.
We could plant trees, that's right.
And flowers.
So what are we doing here today on Earth Day? Why are we here?
To see a march parade.
Yeah.
And it didn't even start.
Why are we marching?
Because it's Earth Day.
Yeah. To say that we care about the Earth?
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, maybe we'll make another video when we're out marching.
Bye.
See you later.
So that's our 7-year-old there.
That's adorable.
Isn't he?
Little correspondent from the Earth Day March for Science. There was some drama about that too, that at least in the Orlando March, I saw some people posting on their Facebook that asking, are you going to separate yourselves from the Earth Day? So at the lake, this is all at Lake Eola, there was... and also separate an Earth Day celebration that was happening and taking place. And I think that's where all the tents and stuff were set up like that. So one side of the lake had this thing going on. But apparently there were some conflicting ideas. There were some like holistic, like herbal medicine type places that were involved in the Earth Day part of it. And so people in the science march part of it were like, hey, we're marching because we want like actual science and actual medicine. Are you going to distance yourself, separate yourself somehow from this other thing that's taking place at the same place at the same time to make sure that our messages don't get mixed?
Like drugs?
Like herbal medication. Not like smoking weed. Like
stuff that has not gone under scientific study, basically, but they're making claims that it can do this, that, and the other.
Right. I'm trying to think. There was one I saw somebody posted recently, and dandelion tea. And I was like, oh my God, somebody from back home in Podunk, Illinois. And I was like, oh, please, will you please fucking do the research? Please, please, please research this. I can post, and we've talked about them on the show before. I can post article after article after article of children fucking dead because their parents were like, oh, little Johnny's sick. Here, little Johnny, drink dandelion tea instead of actually going to a fucking doctor and getting actual medicine, right? And then the kid dies and they're like, oh, I don't know what happened. Maybe
dandelion.
Like, seriously? Anyway.
Yeah. Revoke their parent card.
Oh my gosh. You know what's bizarre about that is you would think that the science people and the hippie earth people who like dandelion tea would kind of be on the same team. Wouldn't you think?
Right.
They sort of unite against the common enemy of people who don't like science or the earth.
Right. Yeah, you would think.
But you just wander into the camp and be like, hey guys, come on in. Yeah. We're doing a march too. You don't even have to get dressed or anything. Just come on over. Now sure, you can wear your sandals. It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just assumed they would all be on the same team.
Yeah. But so apparently anyway, not.
There's apparently lines in that sand.
And the dandelion tea truthers.
They're dangerous.
Yeah. What was it?
They're dangerous.
They're dangerous. I thought you called them like dandruff. I'm like, we're calling him a name now? Yes. Coined here. You heard it first.
Speaking of dangerous, have you guys been following this North Korea escalation?
We're all going to die.
We're all going to die.
Yeah. Forget hell. We're not going
to. I'm going to die skinny, though.
Jesus.
I'm okay. Yeah. If you're going to die, die the way you want to.
That's true. That's true.
Be content about it.
So the first part of this comes from Reuters/The Washington Post. North Korean propaganda is many things, but it's not subtle. Case in point, a new video unveiled at a recent musical performance in honor of Kim Il-sung shows missiles leaving a generic U.S. city in flames. In the footage, a handful of missiles arc over the Pacific, then explode into a giant fireball. It ends with a burning American flag, of course, superimposed over a cemetery of white crosses. You guys seen this video?
No, I have not.
Great, let's watch it.
I've heard about it.
This is about science.
So the rockets go up. Smash into the U.S. Burning American flag. And listen, people went nuts for this thing.
They have no choice.
I know.
So I take it they don't like us?
Definitely
not. What was your first clue?
I don't know. The clapping gives it away. The clapping.
You know what's fucked up is that was not a small crowd. That's like their Coachella.
That's their whole country.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they came in fitting in there.
But they
outside the streets.
It's hard because they're not allowed to be exposed to any outside ideals. They get what the government news tells them, and that's it. They don't have internet access or any of that. So
yep.
It's insane.
I mean,
so this isn't the first time that North Korea has done something like this. In 2016, the country released a video called Last Chance. It depicted a nuclear strike on Washington, complete with a missile demolishing the Lincoln Memorial. The four-minute video also featured a 1960s Western-style score and a mushroom cloud over the U.S. Capitol. Oh, and of course, an American flag on fire. In 2013, a simulated video showed nuclear launches against D.C., California, Hawaii, and Colorado Springs. In reality, it was probably stock art of Arkansas. The country's government has also produced posters showing U.S. soldiers dropping crying babies into wells and America as a dog barking at a passing train.
Oh. Okay.
The second half of that from Reuters.
That's serious.
So now the North Koreans have said they are ready to strike a U.S. aircraft carrier that has been sent near the Korean area. North Korea said on Sunday it was ready to sink a U.S. aircraft carrier to demonstrate its military might in the latest sign of rising tension as U.S. President Donald Trump prepared to call the leaders of China and Japan. The United States ordered the USS Carl Vinson Carrier Strike Group to sail to waters off the Korean Peninsula in response to mounting concern over the North's nuclear and missile tests and its threats to attack the U.S. and its Asian allies. The U.S. government has not specified where the strike group is as it approaches the area. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence said on Saturday it would arrive within days, but gave no other details. North Korea remains defiant. Our revolutionary forces are combat ready to sink a U.S. nuclear-powered aircraft carrier with a single strike, the newspaper of the North's ruling Working Party said in a commentary. The paper likened the aircraft carrier to a gross animal and said a strike on it would be an actual example to show our military's force. If the rocket can get more than 8 seconds off the pad. The commentary was carried on page 3 of the newspaper after a 2-page feature about leader Kim Jong-un inspecting a pig farm.
It's important.
U.S. and Southern Korean officials have been saying for weeks the North could soon stage another nuclear test, something the U.S., China, and others have warned against. South Korea put its forces on heightened alert. China, North Korea's sole major ally, opposes Pyongyang's weapons program and has appealed for calm. The U.S. has called on China to do more to help defuse the tension. This is scary shit. Like, this is getting real.
I mean, yeah. But what are you going to... So here's the thing.
Yeah.
there's no quest for nuclear weapons. They have nuclear weapons. They've detonated a bunch to test them. We know because we have seismic results from different, you know, places around the region. But they're small. They're all less than the size of the ones we dropped in 45 on Japan.
Right.
They're like, I think those were like 15 megaton bombs, and these are like 5 to 10, maybe 12. Still causes tens of thousands of people to die if dropped in a populated center.
Right.
But their biggest problem is they don't have the apparatus with which to get it anywhere.
Right. And that's what they're working on. They're trying to nuclear arm a missile that could reach the U.S. Like, that's their goal. That's why they're what their military exists to do right now.
Haven't come anywhere close.
Are we doing anything to like get a bigger bomb?
No.
Oh, here's the thing.
Americans, we have bigger ones than they do.
Not even bigger. So like they have like, again, like 5 to 12 kiloton bombs.
Yeah.
We're at like 8,000 at this point.
Right.
Yeah, like we have bombs that take out the country of North Korea.
We need to take out this. Let's
where the concern though is.
Throw it out.
Okay. So here's the concern, right? So let's say the Trump administration says, you know what? Let's just nuke these fuckers off the planet and then we won't have to worry about them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What does China do? What does Russia do?
Right.
What do the Iranians do? What do all of these people who are allied with dictatorships?
Yeah, the problem is you're opening that communism. Can of worms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, what we do, it's just like NATO, right? If somebody hurts England, there is a coalition of countries that comes back and says, oh yeah, fuck with my brother, I'm going to show you, right? And so just like we have our allies and our group of nations who are willing to go fight for each other, so do people on the communism side of the spectrum.
I think we're losing ours, though. I mean, slowly, I think they're
our friends,
our allies,
our brothers.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. We're in the middle of a French election, and right now, one of their two finalists going to their runoff is Marine Le Pen,
right?
Who is the Lady Trump of France. Yeah. So, like, and worse too, because like one of the things she's saying is she doesn't believe Muslims should be able to wear a headscarf in public. Jews can't wear a yarmulke in public. Like, they don't believe, she doesn't believe in any of that.
Right.
So she's like next level crazy. So she's nuts. Like, in more than just regular French folk, she's nuts.
And meanwhile, Trump is working on building the border wall in the south, and the Canadians are digging a trench.
Did you hear what his whole thing is right now with the border wall?
Huh.
So by Friday, we have to have like a budget passed.
Oh, he's trying to take money from the
$1.4 billion we're paying for.
Did you see there's a meme going around? If Trump wants this wall, he needs to start a GoFundMe and let his supporters pay for it.
God damn right.
That's great. Yeah. But here's the crazy thing. They fucking would.
They would. They absolutely would.
So here's what I would say.
So do it.
Then fine.
Let them.
Then I don't want to. And here's the thing. I understand that all my taxes that I pay don't all go towards things I want.
Right.
But some of them do. Schools and funding, you know, like after school programs, like I want it, you know, firefighters, police, I want my taxes to go towards that.
Sure.
And I'm okay with my taxes going towards some stuff I don't agree with. That's the nature of compromise.
Yep.
But $1.4 billion that's a good chunk of money.
That's a big freaking wall.
You had to get rid of like NPR and PBS, but we're going to, okay.
Yeah.
That's right. Where we're at. All right.
So we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, listen to how different that is when I turn all those microphones off. When we come back, we're going to talk about, there's some more healthcare stuff that we want to discuss. There's a GOP representative who had some interesting remarks for a mother who was concerned about her son's medical welfare. We're going to talk about some racial discrimination that's happening. There are plenty of religiosity things that are going on in the news. I don't know if I want to talk about this or not, but there was a local situation that happened here at the school that our kid goes to. We may touch on that. And Target is turning their stores into a Mario Kart racetrack. So we'll talk about all of that and more when we come back. You're listening to Sarah Talk.
Imagine a world where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
Loser.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
Come on, punk.
We have the power to stop the bullying.
Speak out.
Speak up.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference at bullying.org.
Bullying is not kids being kids.
It's not about good homes
or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up. I shouldn't be afraid to get on the school bus.
To turn on my computer.
Message.
Or walk to my locker. Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
Hey, leave him alone.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Find out more at bullying.org.
Bullying.org.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Where you're not alone.
Sarah Talk is made possible by our patrons. We love our patrons. If you're not a Sarah Talk patron, you're missing out.
We should do a parody show for bathroom bills at the dog park. Like dogs fighting over which dog gets to pee where.
Or the owners.
Yeah. I feel uncomfortable that my dog has to shit on the transgendered lawn. Fuck that.
Our Patreon fans get access to special patrons-only content, like this nearly two-hour-long bonus episode where we break down Texas Senate Bill 6, the bathroom bill, with our special guest, Jake Vahaba.
My dog hunches over and takes a big runny shit. It's gonna do it with other straight shit dog.
Which is the argument I hear.
Yes,
so.
Yes, exactly what
my dog knows what it is. And it may fuck other men dogs sometimes and pillows and shit, my kid. But I'm not having my dog shit next to other transgendered hump dogs.
Not only do our patrons get access to all previous patron-only specials for less than the price of a tall whatever Starbucks tries to pass off as a coffee, you'll get an ad-free version of the show, which often includes outtakes and extended segments. And of course, we'll give you a special shout-out on the show. Become a patron now for as little as $1 per episode. Go to patreon.com/saratalk today. That's patreon.com/saratalk. Welcome back to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin. In the studio today, my wife Becca.
Hello.
Jake Vahaba.
Hello.
And Michael the intern Kaplan.
What? Now it's even longer. How about just MK?
MK. Okay. That's like cool. MK. We can do that. Yeah. Hey.
Can we call it MK?
Okay, now I'm on to something else.
Yeah. Sorry.
After we do the show today, and we're going to go to an hour again, stop the show for the cut it to the patrons so that anything after an hour goes to the patrons at patreon.com/saratalk. But after all of that, when we get through all of our news stories here, we have scheduled for a pre-recorded interview. Carrie Jenkins, she's the author of What Love Is and What It Could Be. It is a deep philosophical look into love. It's a really interesting book, and we'll have one to give away. I'll give away my copy at the end of that interview. So tune in for that. That will probably air next week. In that episode, we talked with Wade and Byrne from the SciGasm podcast, and they take us through kind of the evolutionary biology perspective of human love, and we're looking at monogamy and non-monogamy, and what is the norm for humans, and when you look at it through history, I think we do pretty well to establish that monogamy is something that we've created. It's a construct that society has made up and placed people into. And when you look at with Wade and Byrne, we looked at other species and how there's variety amongst all things, right? There's sexualities, there's different genders, and it's all a spectrum, it's all a variety. So so the question was, should we assume then that monogamy is normal and good and the best and we should all expect that? Or are we setting ourselves up for heartbreak and poor relationships because we're not able to be honest with each other, right? If you could go into a potential relationship up front and say, hey, you know, I like comedies and I drink my coffee black. And by the way, I prefer to have multiple partners instead of one. Would that set us up for better relationships in the beginning? Because then you have the opportunity to say, okay, that's not my thing. I'm more of a monogamy kind of person, but we can be friends. It's been nice knowing you. Right. So that's kind of what we're trying to look into. You know, what have we done by creating this social construct? That went on way longer than I expected it to. But anyway, so we talked to Wade and Byrne. We're going to be speaking with Carrie Jenkins, author of What Love Is and What It Could Be. So stay tuned. That'll be next week's episode, I believe. A GOP representative tells a mother that her son on Medicaid should just get a better job if he wants health care. This comes from the Huffington Post. The woman explained to Davidson at a town hall in Ohio on Tuesday that her grown son lacked health insurance for 4 years because his job in the service industry did not provide it. He received coverage through Medicaid when Obamacare expanded the program by offering to pick up almost all of the costs for states that lowered their eligibility thresholds. So now she's worried that Donald Trump's plan to roll back that expansion will leave her son with the bare bones catastrophic health insurance, which she said is basically no insurance at all. Quote, "Can you explain why my son and millions of others in his situation are not deserving of affordable, decent health care that has essential benefits so that he can stay healthy and continue working?" she asked. Her son's best route to getting decent insurance without Medicaid is to find work in an industry where employers provide it, according to Davidson. Quote, "Okay, I don't know anything about your son, but as you described him, his skills are focused in an industry that doesn't have the kind of options that you want him to have for healthcare. So I don't believe that these taxpayers here are entitled to give that to him. I believe he's got the opportunity to go and earn those health benefits," he responded, eliciting boos from the crowd.
So clearly the taxpayers don't feel that way.
Right. The reference to essential benefits alludes to the fact that House Republican leaders at one point tried to win over hardline conservatives by removing federal regulations requiring insurance plans to cover 10 basic benefits, including trips to the emergency room, maternity, and newborn care. In lieu of these benefits, low premium, high deductible, catastrophic plans could cover even fewer procedures than they do now. Davidson says, quote, "If he doesn't want a catastrophic care plan, don't buy a catastrophic care plan. If you don't want a flip phone, don't buy a flip phone," Davidson said, eliciting loud groans from the audience. The woman responded, "I'm sorry, healthcare is much different than a cell phone, and I'm tired of people using cell phone analogies with healthcare," before walking away from the microphone. Listen, I'm a taxpayer. And again, this is the socialist in me. But if it means that every kid has a warm place to sleep tonight and a hot meal and access to healthcare, that if every American can go to the emergency room and get treatment when they need it, take my money. Take it.
I happen to know in the upcoming budget where you can reallocate $1.4 billion.
Yes.
That should clear up all the stuff.
Yeah. Everything.
It's a start. If nothing else, it's a start, man.
Right.
It's not going to fix it, but it's a step. It's a step in the right direction. But
what do you guys think of capital punishment? What do we think of the death penalty? Anybody?
It's strong.
It's a harsh penalty to impose on somebody. Uh-huh. I think there are situations where you feel like it's warranted. Uh-huh. But again, that's a slippery slope type thing. I mean, at what point do you say, oh, we're deciding to kill this guy as a group? And that's fine.
Yeah.
And he's accused of killing people. I would say that's probably the argument. I don't know. This is one I sort of wrestle with, because your emotions get attached to individual cases, right?
Sure, and so, right. You kill a fucking baby, we're going to kill you back.
Yeah,
right.
And you have the dude, what was his name? Markeith Lloyd, who was shooting cops all over Orlando not long ago.
Yep.
And I think the people overwhelmingly, and I'm sure this was emotionally driven as well, they wanted him to receive the death penalty, because I think the first prosecutor did not seek the death penalty, and she was ousted real fucking quick.
Yeah.
And replaced with somebody who would absolutely seek the death penalty.
So right.
I don't know. It's, if I were a family member of one of those police officers, I'm sure I would be seeking the death penalty too. But it's tough, man.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
My concern is, do we want the government in the business of killing people? Like, is that something we want our government to do? Is the death penalty any better than some Sharia law extremists taking the faggots and pushing them off the rooftop?
Right.
Taking the woman and stoning her. Like, is that, are we any more evolved? Are we any better that, so instead of shoving someone off a rooftop, lighting them on fire or throwing rocks at them, we just have a more refined method to kill you. We can inject some drug into you that just takes your life away. I don't know that the method by which one is killed by one's government effectively makes one better than the other. I don't know. This is one that I struggle with.
It's deep.
So this story comes from NPR. Arkansas conducts its first execution in years after the U.S. Supreme Court clears the path. 2005 was their last execution, and this one was carried out just minutes before the expiration of the death warrant. Liddell Lee was executed by lethal injection minutes before Friday Central Time, before midnight Friday Central Time in Grady, Arkansas, at the Cummins Unit facility, shortly before the warrant was set to expire. Lee was pronounced dead at 11:56 p.m. Thursday, about 30 minutes before the U.S. Supreme Court cleared the way for the state to proceed with Lee's execution. Lee was sentenced to death for the murder of Deborah Reese in 1993. The execution began at 11:44 p.m., and Lee's eyes, quote, began drooping about a minute later, according to an Associated Press reporter who witnessed the execution. The AP says he showed no apparent signs of suffering and lost consciousness quickly. The wire service reports that Lee made no final statement. The governor knows the right thing was done tonight, J.R. Davis, spokesman for Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, told the AP. Justice was carried out. The state's rush to execute Lee, quote, denied him the opportunity to conduct DNA testing that could have proven his innocence, end quote. Senior staff attorney Nina Morrison of the Innocence Project said in a statement, quote, while reasonable people can disagree on whether the death is an appropriate form of punishment, no one should be executed when there is a possibility that person is innocent, end quote. So that brings that. It brings another wrinkle into the whole debate, right? Is there a scientific method that we haven't perfected or discovered yet that could easily, you know, is there a an eventual way that you can just suction cup the thing to somebody's forehead and tell whether they're telling the truth or not? We just haven't gotten there yet. What if we had that? What if we had the ability to just, you know, plug in the USB port and do a brain dump and tell if these people actually did things or not? And would that be ethical?
I think it would be fascinating for you to have somebody on who works in the judicial system,
mm-hmm.
to be able to comment on the use of like DNA on old cases like that.
Yeah.
To see what percent of them are used. Do we have the money to do it? Are they just too many and they're falling through the cracks?
Right.
I know rape cases are hanging in
the balance.
I would really like to hear some metrics on that, because I think that'd be fascinating, mm-hmm. to find out.
Morrison from the Innocence Project, who represented Lee with the ACLU, added that the 51-year-old proclaimed his innocence for 24 years until his execution.
Wow.
In a Thursday ruling, the Arkansas Supreme Court lifted an order forbidding the state to use one of three lethal injection drugs. The state Supreme Court reversed a ruling by a lower court in favor of a drug supplier. The company had argued that the drug, vercoronium bromide, had been purchased under false pretenses. Mm-hmm. Arkansas had initially scheduled 8 inmates to die over an 11-day period in April, the fastest pace of executions in decades. The state has justified the pace of scheduled executions by saying its supply of another lethal injection drug, the sedative midazolam, expires at the end of April. Arkansas and other states have found it difficult to persuade drug companies to sell drugs for use in capital punishment. So even drug companies are like, oh, I don't know if I, ethically, if, you know, we want to be part of that. So that's an interesting angle too.
So they wanted to kill so many people because their shit was going to expire?
Yes. Yeah, literally.
So they kill people the same way that I drink milk.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Is that what I'm to understand?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really want all this milk, but it's going to expire. I got to drink it.
Yep.
And so they just, they do the same thing, except it's, they kill people.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, I just want to make sure I was getting that right.
Yep. You got it right.
Okay.
We're going to cut it here and throw it to the Patreon part of the show. When we come back on the patron side, if you want to hear the rest of this, head over to patreon.com/SarahTalk. Again, for as little as a dollar per episode, we do one a week. You can support the show and get access to all of the Patreon-only content that we do, including some special patron-only complete full-length episodes, and also this extra content that we've been starting to do lately with an extended version of the show. When we come back on the patron side, we're going to talk about a South Carolina restaurant that has been under fire for a complaint of racial discrimination. I don't know if we're going to talk about this janitor from the school here. And this is my kid's school. And so, you know, I'll redact any like personal, like localized mm-hmm. information or whatever for the safety of our family and stuff. But there was some inappropriate touching going on. So, we'll probably talk about that on the Patreon side. Yeah, this at my kid's school. Like this fucked up.
Not
man.
Good.
Arizona legislators are arguing over the daily prayer. So we talked once before, Jake, while you were here, mm-hmm. about secular invocations and you know equal time and that sort of thing. So we get back into that. A church in Texas had a rainbow flag stolen on Easter. And the guy that stole it left a fun little note. That's awesome. Hmm. Coming up. Also, a parents of a girl who was shot claim that God directed the bullet. At least they're giving him, you know. I always say, if you're gonna thank him for the good things, blame him for the bad things. Mm. But you won't believe how they try to spin it. And, of course, Target is creating Mario Kart racetracks inside their stores. So we'll talk about all of those things coming up on the patron side of the episode. For those of you who are dropping off now, thanks for listening. We hope you go over to patreon.com/SarahTalk and consider contributing to the show. Jake and Michael, thank you guys for coming down. Stick around. We'll be here for the next part of it. You've been listening to Sarah Talk.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/SarahTalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@SarahTalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/SarahTalkRadio and on Twitter @SarahTalkRadio. SarahTalk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.